Ephesians chapter 1 and amen. That's why it's important to tell people when you get saved, you got saved. That's why it's important to give you testimony. You know, your testimony is the most powerful thing you got. You testifying to the grace of God in your life. People don't know what a testimony is. And a testimony, you're testifying to something that took place that changed your life. An event that happened to you that you experienced the grace of God in your life. That's what people need to testify. You know, I give details of I guarantee you, y'all could give my testimony. Why? Because I think it's important to know what brought me to that place. A conviction that night in that hotel room. I had to junk everything. And that night about 11 o'clock, the Lord saved me. And that was in 71. And if you're saved, then you have a testimony. Now you might not remember the date. You might not remember the date like I did. The reason I remember it so well is I wrote it down in the Bible that I had, and I wrote it down in September the 3rd. And I can go back and get that Bible and see where I wrote it. But you will know the day. You'll know whether it's day or night. You'll know the circumstances around it that you was under conviction. I seen myself as a sinner. I seen myself lost. And at that time in my life as a lost sinner, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I appealed to Him. I turned it over to Him. As Robert said, I committed it to Him. And if that's never happened to you, quit deceiving yourself and do it now. And if you're not sure that you're saved and it's bothering you, you rest assured that the Holy Spirit, folks, a man in his own eyes sees his ways as right. But when you see yourself as lost, a sinner, I'm a lost hell-bound sinner, that's God showing you that. And if you don't know, then trust it now. And just admit, I'm a sinner, I want to be saved, and let the Lord save you. I want to talk to you in response to a question. Last week, you know, and if I teach or preach and you don't follow it, don't blame yourself. It's my fault. As a teacher, a pastor, a preacher, I'm to make it clear enough where you understand. And so I want to go back and I want to talk to you a little bit about what I talked about last week, but maybe a little expanded and try to cover some things that maybe. You know, a lot of times I'm getting older. A lot of times I get distracted easier now, and it's hard to keep my concentration. I mean, hey, folks, I've been doing this for 40-some years. I mean, you know, and my brain don't work like it used to. And that's why, you know, you come in here, you when you come into a Bible church, it's not like walking into a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church. You lock your brain up in the glove compartment out there and come on in. You ain't going to need it anyway inside them churches. So are you just being critical? Well, I'm being critical. Have you listened to some of their sermons? But when you come in here to a Grace Church, you got to think. You got to concentrate. You got to follow along. You read. You're thinking. You're following the preacher. You're in one with him. Because you want to learn. And so, that's why we try to make it simple and try not to disturb the Holy Spirit and His work in people's minds and not being distracted. And we ought to respect everybody in that way. Ephesians chapter 1. And, you know, I see what a lot of times go on up here teaching and people acting more of a fool than I am out there trying to play. I see people, you know, playing with the kids and they'd be here back yonder and up here and they're... Well, that's distracting. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit not grieve y'all sometime? If He don't, then check up. Something wrong. This is God's place where we... This ain't holy, but it's a place where we come together to study the Bible. And I don't want to stand before the Lord and have the Lord judge me, and there's people in here that may could have heard the gospel, and he couldn't use his word because other people's doing other things. What's going on? It's just church. No, it's not just church. It's people's souls at stake. So I don't like it. Well, there's other places. Now you can go and play church and do all what you want to do and join their social clubs. So be it. It's getting quieter than a turkey farm on Thanksgiving Eve. But there comes a time when you gotta... Anyway. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now I want you to notice His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Now what is that mystery of His will? Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I'm going to just jump over there and verse 14, which is the earnest, talking about the spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, I want you to notice some things about this, and what I want to talk to you about, verse 10, he says, the mystery that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Where are the two places? In heaven and in earth, right? Now, I want you to look at that dispensation of the fullness of times for a moment. And I'm just going to go back here, and I'm going to say, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly ministry, and we have the record, and this is through John. Then you have, at the end of those books, he's crucified, he's buried, and on the third day he's resurrected. You have Acts of the Apostles, and in there, and that's what the book is about. It's about their acts, it's about their ministry, the apostles there. Then you come over, there's something that takes place, and the Lord appears to Saul in Acts chapter 9, and he says the gospel is committed unto him. I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to put, there's going to be a character, he's going to confirm the covenant for 1 week, and that week is the tribulation, 7 years tribulation, standard timeline. Then at the close of that thing, the Lord's coming back, second coming, he's going to bound Satan, and he's going to rule for 1,000 years on this earth, and then eternity on out there. So, I want you to put, here would be the gospel, the dispensation of grace. Now, I want you to think about time. We're going to be called out someday at the end of this period in here, which is called the rapture of the church. If I took this out, would time, would it be full? It'd be something missing, wouldn't it? It'd be like a gap in here. In the dispensation. So, how is he going to gather together all things in heaven and earth, but in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together? I'm just simply, I want you to look at this, and I realize it can mean when he's out here, when time is no more. Let me go back. Hang on to Ephesians. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Time had to be filled. The dispensation of the fullness of time. This. The dispensation of grace. Look in Galatians chapter 4. In verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in the fullness of time. In other words, time, it was right. It was the time to be in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Would be, I'm saying that Paul's dispensation in chapter 3, back in Ephesians. He said, you've heard of the dispensation, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. In other words, God's purpose and his will is to gather together all things in heaven and in earth. Right? verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. I realize that that can be also the fullness of time when time's no more and everything's gathered into Him. But I want you to look at it like God Almighty has a dispensation that completes the time out there, and that He can gather the people that's going to be over into the heavens out there. Are y'all still with me? Now if you're not, there has to be, look in verse 10. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Then there is a group of people that's going to be in heaven, right? And what are they going to be doing? They're bringing everything back into together in one, all things in Christ. Then there's a group of people that's going to be on the earth, right? Huh? And they're going to be reigning on earth. People in heaven's going to be reigning in heaven. And we're going to all, it's going to be all under Christ's domain. But if you didn't have the dispensation of grace in here, then there would be no fullness of time. Don't you see? God had to stop this program in order to get this program, because His will was He's going to replace and fill things with you. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. He'll use the church and the nation of Israel. Now I want you to look with me, and I'll tell you what, you don't have to. Let's go to Isaiah and look at Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. So what's God doing now? He's gathering together a group called the church, which is His body, to bring back the heavens out there. That's what I want you to see, okay? So I'm going to erase all of this. Now, Robbie's done preached the gospel to you, and I mean, as good as it can get. So this is to the body of Christ. Notice in verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Look over in chapter 9. So a virgin, prophecy of virgin. Notice in chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now watch it. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. What shall be no end? Huh? Let's read it again. Verse 7. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. What shall be no end? The increase, isn't it? Right? Of the increase of His government, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Then there is no increase of His government. Now, of His kingdom. So, I'm going to put Christ up here. Now the Bible says that when God, He's set up on high, Notice he sat at the right hand of the throne of David, throne of God. So he has a position above here. And let's look at it in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now folks, we're going to talk about your inheritance, what you're going to be doing in eternity. And it has nothing to do with kicking your feet off, wading in the river of life. It has nothing to do with you fishing out of it or whatever you do of, they say you do of, that's not your inheritance as a member of the body of Christ. Now look in Colossians chapter 1. Notice what he said in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meek to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, underline, hath made us meek. That word meek, that is fit. He's made you fit to do this. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You're already translated into that kingdom as far as God is concerned. There's only one problem that's keeping you out of that position. You're in a body that can't go to where that position is at. You can't get out of the atmosphere of this earth. So one day God's going to give you a new body, a body of righteousness, and you will take your position out there in the kingdom of his dear Son. Now notice verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Folks, he shed your blood, his blood, you have forgiveness of sins because of what he did, not because of what you do. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Everything is about the Son. He's the head. He's up here. He's the head. And God has set him so. Say he's seated at the right hand of God. It's though God set him there. He's God. Jesus Christ. He's creator. He's the head of the body. Now, in the context of all things, verse 16, by him all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, and he lists the all things there as thrones, principalities, powers, and things like that. That's the governmental structure. It's an earthly government. There is a heavenly government out there. Just as there is territories down here, and we call them states, we call them counties, we call them countries, we call them kingdoms, we have heads of state, we have principalities, we have magistrates, we have law enforcement, we have men of authority, we have people in positions of authority, just as it is down here on this earth, so it is in heaven out there. And you've got to remember that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God. the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. These powers are the ordinances of God. It's as though God Almighty set in motion, just like the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. It's like the storms and the rain comes on the just and the unjust. So it is. He has power structures that He established in the heavens and they're on this earth. I'll give you another one. Turn over to Hebrews. And by the way, while you're there in Romans chapter 13, notice what he said in verse 3, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's what they're supposed to be. But now, sometimes that's not the case. We're getting closer to the Antichrist. It's going to be different. But look what he said. For rulers are not a terror to the good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, of the power. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Well, folks, if you get pulled over by law enforcement, he tells you to get down on the ground, you get down on the ground. If he tells you to stand up, you stand up. You do whatever he tells you to do. I mean, folks, that's the power. That's a part of that structure. That's the government authority that God Almighty has placed in this world. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And they're his ordinances. And then he go down there and he says, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Render therefore to all their due. They're the ministers of God. These men in here, Joel, Bob, all of them, Greg, they're ministers of God. They might not feel like a minister of God, but they are. They're out there to execute wrath against them that do evil. They're out there to praise the good for doing good. They're out there to protect it as they got them on the side of the car. Protect and serve. Now, I realize there's always some, but they're good. They're there. I'd hate to live in a county without them. I'd hate to live in a city without them, wouldn't you? But anyway, I don't want to go on, but let's go look that with me again in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I might have gave you a bad reference there. Let's see. Go back to chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Notice what he said in verse, I'm going to just jump in there, verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. More we sprinkled the blood of both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary, now watch it, that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into a holy place made with hands. Well, it's not on this earth. Which are the figures of the true. The things on this earth is the figures of the true that's in heaven out there. Folks, there's princes out there. Turn back to Daniel. Look in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, and notice Daniel's begin to pray in Daniel chapter 10, And Gabriel comes to him, verse 12. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Alright, Daniel starts to pray down here, and so he prays. You know how long he prays? 21 days goes by. And here comes Gabriel. Look what he said. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thy words before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, you know what kingdom that is on the earth now? That's Iran. This prince withstood Gabriel. 21 days he couldn't get down to where Daniel is. He's coming from heaven down to this earth, but he couldn't get through. Look what he said. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 20. And he said, knowest thou whereof I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now folks, he's talking about them territories out there in the heavens. He could not pass through, and Michael had to come and help him get down through there. Just as there's territories on the earth, there's territories in the heavens. Just as there's kingdoms on the earth, there are kingdoms in the heavens, and the kingdoms in the heavens out there are occupied by princes and kings, and they're demoniac, they're evil angels out there, and they're Satan's out there. And that's where you're headed. And boy, my time. Jeez. How come work can't go by this quick? If I was at work, it'd still be 10 after 11. Look with me. So there's no increase. His government is not, it's going to just keep growing. And he's the head. Now look, the body is seated. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? Heavenly places in Christ. Turn to chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then God Almighty has already seated you in the heavens out there, and he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's your blessing. That's your inheritance. He's filling it up. And there are wells out there. And I drew this out here like that. And then there's the earth. And I'm just going to let that represent the earth. And the nation Israel. Now that government His kingdom it's going to keep growing. And maybe next week we'll get into this. They're going to keep producing children, having children, natural born children, be born in the flesh on this earth in that kingdom and government. What's going to happen? Eventually it's going to get full, isn't it? Well, we got 7 billion now. I mean, you go back there to the bus, 33,000 years after the 1,000-year reign. 33,000 years, folks. How many? And no death. How many people you reckon get on this planet in 33,000 years? We got 7 billion since the flood now. Quite a few, wouldn't you think so? Governments down here, principalities down here, governments out here, territories, we call them worlds. Iran, all that up there. So, when this fool, they'll be took out. Christ the head, Israel down here is the ones that's going to be reigning on this earth. They're going to bring this earth back under his domain. What about the heavens out there? Michael's coming down, going to clean the heavens out there, and the Bible said that their place was found no more. And we'll get into that next week. But I wanted to just do this, take our time. I want you to understand your inheritance is out there ruling and reigning with Christ. As people down here and they're transported out there, you'll have people on different territories, different worlds, different planets out there, and the body of Christ to be ruling and reigning as principalities king out there in the Lord's creation. And so the end result will be a perfect universe with perfect people worshiping and serving a perfect God. Something you don't have today. And that's what Paul brings. And so he's filling up the time with the body of Christ today. And when the body's full, he takes it out and he begins to go back to his 7-year prophecy and fulfills it and completes the ministers of the earth and then brings them back. Now maybe, Lord, we'll try to get into more of that next week. Are there any questions? Shake hands with one another.